The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Old Testament lesson for this Sunday, the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When we think of the prophet Isaiah, there come to mind quickly his wonderful prophecies of the Savior, that he would be born of a virgin, that his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that he would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, that with his stripes we shall be healed. Yes, these are wonderful prophecies of God's mercy in his own dear Son. But the work of the ancient prophets, such as Isaiah, was not only to hold before the people the comforting promises of God's mercy, but also to call them to repentance. And when we read the book of Isaiah, we hear not only the word of God's mercy, but also God's word of judgment. Conditions during Isaiah's lifetime were grim indeed. He lived not only during the reign of good King Hezekiah, but also during the reign of Manasseh, who was one of the very worst of Judah's wicked rulers. Corruption and idolatry were everywhere, and everywhere the poor were mercilessly trampled on. And so Isaiah spoke the word of God's judgment on all this evil. But that word of judgment was, as always, far from welcome. In fact, ancient Jewish tradition says that Isaiah himself suffered a martyr's death, being sawed in two with a sword. Yes, God's word of judgment spoken through Isaiah was not welcome, but God would not be mocked. First, the cruel Assyrians, and that's what they were rightly called, the cruel Assyrians, came into the land and besieged Jerusalem, though God did not permit them to take the city. But Isaiah prophesied that the Babylonians eventually would. Two centuries passed before this prophecy was fulfilled, when Jerusalem was put to fire and sword, and the people carried away to Babylon, where they languished in exile for 70 long years. But Isaiah also prophesied that beyond that judgment, the long years in exile, God's word and promise of mercy would not fail, that God would put an end to their exile and bring them home. And so in today's Old Testament lesson, we hear Isaiah speak as God's messenger. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it spring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in that for which I sent it. God's word of promise spoken through Isaiah was fulfilled. And after 70 long years, the exiles returned to their homeland. But that joyful event, that homecoming to Jerusalem, only foreshadowed an even more joyful event, the coming of God's Son into this world of sin and death to deliver not just one people from exile, but the whole world from its exile, from its maker. So shall my word be that goes forth out from my mouth. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. St. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh." Jesus is the Word of God, who goes forth from the Father for your salvation and for mine. The Father's eternal Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that we might dwell now and forever with Him. Isaiah had in fact spoken of Israel's return from exile in language which pictured that return from exile, the fulfillment of God's word and promise, as paradise restored. As paradise restored. The going forth of the eternal word of the Father, his conception and birth, his life of perfect love, his atoning death, his glorious resurrection and ascension. This was the great fulfillment of God's word and promise, the accomplishment of our salvation, the beginning of paradise restored. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, says the Lord. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In every Holy Communion, we hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord saying of the bread and the wine on the altar, "This is my body. This is my blood." This word of the Lord will not return to him empty, but it shall accomplish that which he purposes and shall succeed in the thing for which he sends it. This is my body. This is my blood, says the Lord. Is this mysterious? Is this beyond human understanding? Indeed, it is. But remember God's words spoken through Isaiah. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Lord. And remember this word spoken through Isaiah. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and succeed in that for which I sent it. This word, this is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. In the words of that lovely hymn by St. Thomas Aquinas, we say to the Lord present in the sacrament, taste and touch and vision to discern thee fail. Faith that comes by hearing pierces through the veil. I believe whate'er the Son of God hath told, what the truth hath spoken, that for truth I hold. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.